Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 7th chapter of the 4th book of Moses. Numbers, chapter 7. This is a lengthy read, some 89 verses. So strap in and pay attention. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle, and had anointed it, and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take it of them that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon, according to their service. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. And the princes offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed, even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, They shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. And he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was 1 silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels. 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. 1 spoon of 10 shekels of gold full of incense. 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. On the second day, Nethaneel, the son of Zuar, prince of Issachar, did offer. He offered for his offering 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. 1 spoon of gold, 10 shekels, full of incense. 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. On the third day, Eliab, the son of Helon, prince of the children of Zebulun, did offer. His offering was 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with gold, with oil for a meat offering. 1 golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eliab, the son of Helon. On the fourth day, Eliezer, the son of Shedeur, prince of the children of Reuben, did offer. His offering was 1 silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. 1 golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. On the fifth day, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, prince of the children of Simeon, did offer. His offering was one silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth day, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel, prince of the children of Gad, offered. His offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, a silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. On the seventh day, Elishama, the son of Ammihud, prince of the children of Ephraim, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Elishama, the son of Ammihud. On the eighth day offered Gamaliel, the son of Pedasur, prince of the children of Manasseh. His offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Gamaliel, the son of Pedasur. On the ninth day, Abidan, the son of Gideoni, prince of the children of Benjamin, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Abidan, the son of Gideoni. On the tenth day, Ahiezer, the son of Ammishaddai, prince of the children of Dan, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Ahiezer, the son of Ammishaddai. On the 11th day, Pagiel, the son of Okran, prince of the children of Asher, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Okran. On the 12th day, Ahira, the son of Anan, prince of the children of Naphtali, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Anan. This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel. 12 chargers of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold, each charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, each bowl 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. The golden spoons were 12, full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece after the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the spoons was 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 bullocks, and the rams 12. The lambs of the first year 12, with their meat offering, and the kids of the goats for sin offering 12. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offerings were 24 bullocks, the rams 60, the he-goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar after that it was anointed. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubims. And he spake unto him. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Well, let's take it in two sections. Maybe three sections, but maybe 2.5 sections would be more proper. The first section then would be the offerings of the carts. The offerings of the carts. So there was, the word went out that the children of Israel should offer for the service of the Levites. In the next chapter, we might wonder, you know, here's all these 12 tribes offering. What happens to the Levites? Do the Levites get to offer an offering? Well, in a way. In the next chapter, the Levites are the offering. They are the offering. So they have a ministry, a service to do in and about the tabernacle. Remember, as we saw last week, the sons of Aaron only were allowed to minister upon the holy things. They wrapped them up when it was time to travel. They unpacked them and put them in their place in the Holy of Holies, in the holy place itself, all of those appurtenances, the menorah, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant itself, the setting up of the tent, all of those things pertained to the sons of Aaron. After they took all of those things out and packaged them up, then the Levites came and carried those covered things on carts. The Ark of the Covenant itself was carried on poles. There were rings for other appurtenances, for the table, for the altar, and so on. So those Levites needed something to help them in their ministry. The Lord, being as particular as He is about the devices and the things in His worship, prescribed that the children of Israel should bring carts. And so they brought carts. And the carts were for the transportation of most things pertaining to the tabernacle. And so there were the sons of Merari, and they were given carts. There were the sons of Gershon, and they were given carts. And then there were the sons of Kohath. They were not given carts, because the service of their ministry was to bear it upon their shoulders. And so they were not given a cart in order that they would not be tempted to place those appurtenances on the cart. And so we remember then of the unhappy day that Uzzah died, when the Ark of the Covenant was where? On a cart. Didn't belong there. And in testimony of that very fact, the Lord did not give to the children of Kohath carts, because their ministry was one to be borne upon their shoulders. So the Gershonites, they carried the linens of the tabernacle compound, and they had two covered wagons and four oxen for the carrying of their items. The Merarites, carrying the pillars and the boards, were given four covered wagons and eight oxen to carry this greater weight and bulk. And the Kohathites were given no wagon, no oxen, for they were to bear the vessels of the tabernacle on the shoulders by means of the poles and rings so meticulously fashioned for that very use. So we should immediately think of 1 Chronicles 13 and 15 and the death of Uzzah upon reading this passage. Notice how reasonable it would have been. Again, you know, our larger catechism is very good on the Sabbath day. There are several, I think six questions on the Sabbath in the larger catechism. One thing about the larger catechism that it does with regard to the Sabbath day, it says, you know, there's something about the Sabbath day. The larger catechism says there's no light of nature for it. We don't have the light of nature to teach us to keep one day in seven holy unto the Lord. It is somewhat counterintuitive, if you will, to keep one day in seven holy. You mean God's going to feed me 7 days for 6 days' labor? Every morning when we're on the way to church, we look at the birds. We like birds. And we'll see birds on the line and birds flying overhead and birds in the field. You know what they're doing? They're out there earning a living. They're picking up seeds and bugs and worms and other things because they need to go out and earn a living on the Lord's day. You don't have to. But there's no light of nature, right? You look around at the animals. All the animals are out working for a living on the Lord's day. Well, just as there was no light of nature for the Sabbath day particularly, so also it would have been very reasonable to Uzzah and the band of men there to take the ark and put it on a cart. How reasonable would that be? It would we'd certainly relieve the Levites of that heavy burden, wouldn't we? We would make their job so much easier and so much better if we would just, you know, well, this is put on a cart. What harm could there be? What could it hurt? And of course, the Lord had a very interesting gospel message to preach, and that is that the ministry of reconciliation is to be borne by the ministers, not to be farmed out. Right? In these new covenant days, the ministry of reconciliation, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is borne by the ministers of the gospel, borne upon their shoulders, not farmed out to ox carts or other means. The Lord had a very important truth to teach by means of that denial of carts to the Kohathites. But there was less light of nature for it. It sure seemed wise. It sure seemed expedient to put the cart, to put the ark on the cart. And there are many things that are done today in churches that are done by means of expediency. You know, Jesus said, when he was talking to Peter, "Whom do men say that I am?" And everybody had a various answer. And then Jesus said, "Who do ye say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Whether Peter knew what he was talking about or not, he had certainly made a great confession. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And when we use ox carts and other methods other than those means that God has employed, other than those means that Christ has taught us in His Word, you know what we do? We just enter into competition with Him. He said He'd build it. He'd build it by the means that He has, as a wise architect, Paul says, as a wise master builder, given to His apostles to lay out for His ministers to follow. And when we use gimmicks and games and other flashy marketing schemes, we enter into competition with Christ. And such schemes and games and gimmicks will not be blessed. They may attract a large following, but you can do that at a circus, can't you? You can do that at an amusement park. You can gather a large following. I even hear tell that people spend upwards of $100 million a weekend to watch movies. Sometimes just one movie. Gathering a large following is not difficult. That can be done anywhere. But working in accordance with the architectural plan of the Lord Jesus Christ for His church. Now that requires some discipline. It requires not being expedient. It requires not thinking, well, what harm would there be? Once we start thinking, what possible harm could there be? We have already, in our minds, put the ark on the cart. Let us guide ourselves then by those plans, those blueprints, that archetypal message and plan that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. He'll build His church. It's His to build. And build it He will. He will build it according to the means that He has prescribed. That's the first part of the chapter. The second part of the chapter then is the offerings of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if there was ever any understanding as to if there was one tribe that was superior to another or had a greater part than another, the only distinction that we have between the 12 tribes is the order in which they come to offer. The only distinction. The offerings are the same. Whether they are a very numerous and populous tribe like Judah and Ephraim, or whether they're small like Benjamin and Issachar, doesn't matter. However large or however small the tribe was, they all brought the same offering. The same is true of us. It doesn't matter how many years we have in the church or how many years we don't have in the church. Our offering is the same. You know what that is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your offerings. What offering is that? Your bodies, living sacrifices unto God, which is your reasonable service. All our offerings are the same, essentially. They are our whole selves. Did you notice, though, that even in the offerings, there were the various kinds of offerings that were given? There was that meat offering, which spoke of the sustenance of God, how He sustains us. There was that sin offering that says we approach unto God only by means of a substitute. Yes, even the ancient Israelites approached by means of a substitute. That sacrifice pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That animal died in their place for their sin. Now they knew that that animal did not cleanse their sins. Those gospel believers in the Old Covenant knew that. There was also the burnt offering, that dedicatory offering. There was also the peace offering, which was the celebratory offering. All of these offerings pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them pointed to the communion that He has with His people. He forgives their sins by His sacrifice. He brings them near by His sacrifice. They bring themselves and offer in that olah, that whole burnt offering, by means of His sacrifice. The incense in the golden spoon speaks of the prayers of the saints. Are you a praying people? The Old Covenant saints were by way of prophetic type in those incense offerings. And so our offerings today, our psalm singing, our corporate prayer, the offering of our attentive hearts during the preaching of God's Word, notice all those offerings, as wonderful as they are polluted and must be cleansed by the great sin offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We do nothing perfect in this life, nothing acceptable to God in and of itself. As the larger catechism says, our persons and services are acceptable in Him, in Christ. So then the chapter closes up with the totaling of the offerings, so that the people might see the great riches they had gotten in the land of Egypt. They were 70 going down. 70. And from 70 people under 400 or so years of slavery, they came out with such great substance that there were 12 of every silver appliance, 12 of every golden spoon, flocks and herds beyond counting almost, such that the people of Israel could say, the Lord has been very good to us. And then finally, great, great scene. The offerings are brought. Everyone has celebrated together. The tabernacle has been anointed and fully furnished with everything it needs. And what does Moses do? As the representative of the people of God, presses forward into the tabernacle and speaks with God from off the mercy seat. Because there is communion with God between him and his people by means of that great mediator, not Moses, but that great mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom every one of these offerings pointed. We have communion with God through Christ. Our Moses, the Moses of the New Covenant, stands before the Holy of Holies in heaven, pleading there for us day by day. We have a hearing with Almighty God. Thus ends the reading of Numbers chapter 7. Let's stand and continue calling upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.